Links Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Five o'clock, Friday the 13th of March. Fast my good afternoon. Cheers to Chris Quack for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, an inquest into the death of MGP rider Lewis O'Regan has returned a verdict of accidental death. Meanwhile, a payroll firm has been reprimanded after thousands of personal records were found in an unsecured shredding bin, and FC Isle of Man face Chadderton at the Bowl as the visitors arrive on an 11-game unbeaten run. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166-177, email studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest news headlines with Lewis Foster. Fastamai, Lewis.
Fastamai. Emergency services are carrying out a search and rescue operation after a personal locator beacon was activated. Coast Guard rescue teams, RNLI lifeboats and a Coast Guard helicopter are involved in the response, currently along the east coast. The beacon is believed to be within a 5-mile radius of Snaith Fell, creating a large search area. Coast Guard officers are asking vessel and beacon owners to check their equipment in case the signal was triggered accidentally. A verdict of accidental death has been recorded at the inquest of a motorcycle racer who died during the opening day of the 2024 Manx Grand Prix. Lewis O'Regan was killed as a result of multiple injuries sustained during the first qualifying session of the event on the 18th of August. Recording her verdict at Douglas Courthouse today, Deputy Coroner of Inquest Rebecca Cubbin said the 43-year-old was a very experienced rider and his fatal accident did not happen due to rider error or mechanical defect, but rather due to a wet patch on the circuit. And the Chief Minister's admitted fuel costs are likely to rise in the coming weeks, but says they will be monitored by the Office of Fair Trading. An extraordinary meeting of the Economic and National Strategy Board was held this week to review the emerging impacts of the Middle East conflict. More on this in the international news, as the UK Chancellor is meeting with energy bosses to discuss the rising price of petrol at the pumps. Oil costs have shot up since the start of the conflict in Iran, with exports from the Gulf region disrupted. The Petrol Retailers Association had threatened to pull out of talks, but have since sat down with her. She told them they all share the same goals.
I want to have an open and a frank conversation today, but you'll know that your customers, our constituents, are very concerned around the higher prices, and we do have a shared obligation to keep them as low as possible.
Meanwhile, Sky Sports News understands the upcoming Bahrain and Saudi Arabia F1 races will not go ahead. FIA bosses feel the situation in the Middle East has not improved in recent days, and an official statement is expected. And the first known picture of Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor, Jeffrey Epstein and Peter Mandelson has surfaced. It's in files released by US authorities, but of course, just appearing in them does not mean someone is guilty of any crime. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Lewis, thank you very much. Gurumayad, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Mostly dry with sunny or clear intervals, just a small chance of a shower. Turning cold overnight with a risk of frost in some sheltered spots. Dry and bright for much of tomorrow though, with rain developing overnight into Sunday and a moderate fresh westerly wind. Top temperature of 10 degrees Celsius.
Manx Gloss and Glazing are proud to be celebrating 40 years serving the Isle of Man. Glazing needs. Visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Now, a verdict of accidental death has been recorded at the inquest of a motorcycle racer who died during the opening day of the 2024 Manx Grand Prix. Lewis O'Regan was killed as a result of multiple injuries sustained on the first qualifying session of the event, which was on the 18th of August. Siobhan Fletcher has this report.
The incident occurred at Kate's Cottage just before 5 p.m, hours after a similar accident saw local rider Jamie Williams crash in the same area. Recording her verdict at Douglas Courthouse today, Deputy Coroner of Inquest Rebecca Cubbin said the 43-year-old was a very experienced rider and his fatal accident did not happen due to rider error or mechanical defect, but rather due to a wet patch on the circuit. Over 2 days of evidence heard earlier this week, the court heard from Mr. Williams, marshals, police, the deputy clerk of the course, and Department of Infrastructure employees. A picture soon emerged that showed that Mr. O'Regan crossed the double white lines in the middle of the road outside of the racing line and lost control of his bike. Between those lines was a wet patch caused by water seepage believed to be contaminated with peat, creating a yellow, soapy substance on the surface of the road. Giving evidence earlier this week, former collision investigator PC Stephen Hoy says there's a significant difference between normal water and water contaminated with peat residue and described the area as extremely slippery underfoot. On Monday, Jamie Williams told the inquest the white centre line was 100% where he lost control, adding O'Regan lost control in the exact same spot. Evidence given by marshals also revealed many riders were wobbling in that location on the day. One marshal, who's been stationed at Kate's Cottage for racing since 2022, said she counted maybe 5 at most wobbling in a session there last year, but that back in August 2024, she lost count, saying, "I can't even count how many I saw do that." In the days after Mr. O'Regan's accident, banding work was undertaken to fix the point ahead of any further racing, and further work on that stretch of road was undertaken last year. Recording an accidental death verdict, the Deputy Coroner of Inquest, Rebecca Cubbin, said she could not record a misadventure verdict, as although he knew competing was an inherently risky activity, the manner in which he lost control could not have been deemed a willful risk, as he couldn't have known about the road condition and the impact it would have on him. A report may be presented with recommendations given to the relevant bodies, but this is still under consideration by the Deputy Coroner. Concluding the inquest, she thanked Mr. O'Regan's family for their grace and composure during proceedings.
Siobhan Fletcher there with that report. Now, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East is pushing up global oil prices, and that could soon be felt here on the Isle of Man. Government ministers have been assessing the potential impact on the island's economy and fuel costs. Simon Richardson's been looking at what it might mean for households here. He joins me now. First, let's just look at what the government here is doing.
Fastamai Christian, yes, the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, chaired an extraordinary meeting of the Economic and National Strategy Board earlier this week. That was to review possible knock-on effects from the conflict, particularly rising energy prices and wider inflationary pressures. Well, government says it's working closely with fuel suppliers and has asked residents to be patient as orders are processed, with costs expected to rise in the coming weeks.
And part of that pressure is coming from movements in the global fuel markets, is that right?
Exactly. Whenever there's unrest in the Middle East, oil markets tend to react quickly. While crude prices have risen sharply in recent days, the key factor affecting heating oil in the British Isles is actually the wholesale price of jet fuel, because both fuels are kerosene-based. Now, the UK and Ireland Fuel Distribution Association says wholesale jet fuel prices have more than doubled recently, reaching a 3.5-year high. One reason is Europe's reliance on imports from the Middle East. About 40% of Europe's jet fuel came from the region last year, and disruption to those supply routes is pushing prices higher.
So how does that translate into what customers here might pay?
Well, heating oil is supplied very differently from gas or electricity. It's a competitive market made up of many local distributors who often buy fuel at the daily market price and hold limited storage, which means prices can move quickly in response to global events, although they can also fall again if markets stabilise. That said, local distributors do have more significant storage capability.
So for those who rely on heating oil, any words of wisdom?
Not specifically, Christian, but industry guidance is fairly simple. If your tank is running low, order as normal. Asking for smaller deliveries might seem sensible, but could increase costs if you need fuel more frequently. Of course, ultimately, much will depend on, I suppose, the Trump factor, how long the conflict continues and how global energy markets respond.
All right, Simon. Well, thank you very much for that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a Timwald committee examining whistleblowing policies across the government has been hearing further evidence, this time from the chief officer of the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Graham Kinraid has urged staff to speak up if they have concerns, saying improving workplace culture takes time, but encouraging people to come forward is absolutely key.
I stepped into this role in September 2020. Wow. And from the very start, we've talked about people, relationships, culture. That's what you have to do. You have to treat people appropriately, you have to treat people fairly, and you have to value and recognise people. Out of that, you build relationships with people, and out of that, you develop the culture of your organisation. The reality is, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. Culture can be broken almost overnight, but it takes a long time to build.
Because it's well documented that some of the most successful companies have evolved from correcting errors or correcting things that have been raised to them because they have welcomed and championed whistleblowing.
Yes, I agree 100%. I welcome, I have absolutely no issues here. I welcome people bringing forward complaints. It doesn't have to be through whistleblowing. You know, we have multiple channels. I welcome people raising concerns with us. It is how we learn.
As chief officer, sitting on the chief officer's group, is whistleblowing a topic that comes up, or does it only come up when you see an employment tribunal?
I think the conversation at chief officer group is much wider. It's much more around culture. It's about organisation. It's about how do we enable people to speak up. We are all conscious of the need to enable this to happen, to enable our organisations to improve. But equally, we are all conscious that it unfortunately won't happen overnight, if only.
So what would you say to all your employees today if they wanted to speak up?
Speak up. Speak up. But it's speak up to who you feel comfortable with, isn't it? It's not approach a whistleblowing officer, because there's something about a relationship here that if I want to get into a difficult conversation of something that I have witnessed and I feel should be raised, I'm highly unlikely to go and speak. I may, that's unfair. I'm unlikely to go and speak to somebody I don't know. I'm going to want to speak to somebody that I have a relationship with and I can trust. What we need to ensure is that those people, those line managers, know what their process for raising that further is, so that it does, if it has to reach the whistleblowing officer or if it has to reach me. But what I would say is, speak up.
Graham Kinraid there, the chief officer at the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Approaching 13 minutes past five, a payroll administration company on the Isle of Man has been reprimanded by the Information Commissioner after thousands of personal records were discovered in unsecured shredding bins at a vacated office. Well, Lewis Foster has been looking into the case. Faster, Lewis. What's happened here then?
Fastamai. So this centres on Payroll Partners Limited, which shut down its local operations in March 2024 following a merger. Several months later, the company's former landlord contacted the Information Commissioner's office after finding two full, unlocked shredding bins containing payroll documents left behind at the premises.
So do we know what sort of information we're talking about here?
Well, the ICO secured the documents and transferred them into 14 storage boxes. A sample of just five of those boxes revealed more than 9,700 records containing personal and special category data, things like names, salary information, dates of birth, identification documents, and immigration records as well. In many cases, those documents combine several details about individuals, effectively creating a fairly complete personal profile. During the review process as well, investigators actually discovered the Information Commissioner's own personal data among the documents relating to rental payments from 2006. Because of that, she stepped back from the investigation and the Assistant Commissioner took over the case.
And what did the investigation ultimately conclude then?
So the regulator has been quite sharp in its criticism. It says the company didn't recognise the situation as a personal data breach, didn't report it, and didn't assess whether affected individuals should be informed, and accused it of poor management and data protection standards. Now, it's worth noting the overall risk to individuals was considered low, mainly because the office itself remained locked, but the ICO says that was more by chance than design. And you may be asking, why is this being made an example of? Well, it says it's using the case as a reminder that organizations remain responsible for personal data throughout the entire life cycle of their operations, including when they close down too.
All right, Lewis, thank you very much for that. Right, let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Alrighty, there's a few things to be aware of. We'll start on the roads. The Old Castletown Road is closed at the White Hoe for work at the wastewater pumping station. Access to and from Douglas is via Quarterbridge, so you can expect traffic to be quite busy on those diversion routes. Down in Braddon, temporary lights on Cull Road near the business park, also temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. In Castletown, there are temporary lights between KWC and the airport for water main works. Elsewhere, the Three Legs Isle of Man rally is on today and tomorrow, so there'll be restrictions on several smaller routes around the island. Do check manxradio.com for a comprehensive look at all the details. And a reminder that Quarterbridge Road in Douglas is due to be closing on Sunday for tree felling work, a closure in place from 8 in the morning through till 6 between Selborne Drive and Alexander Drive. Now, the DOI has said if the work goes to plan, the road could reopen as early as mid-afternoon. Down at the Steam Packet, a couple of delays to be aware of. This afternoon's Manxman trip back to Douglas was delayed by a couple of hours due to the poor weather we've seen recently. As a result, the 7:15 Douglas to Heysham won't be getting away until 9:15. And the overnight crossing also delayed, not heading back to the island until 3 in the morning. Down at the airport, on the arrivals board, the Aer Lingus 450 not due in until 25 past, so around 10 minutes time. And on the departures board, the 520 Aer Lingus back to Dublin, not setting off until 10 to 6.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
Have you got your Manx Radio Gold open and closed door sign on display? If you put the sign in the entrance of your business, you could win 3 months of free advertising on Manx Radio Gold in 2026. Need a door sign? Email sales@manxradio.com and we'll get one straight to you. And if your door sign is already up, send us a photo and we'll put your business into the prize draw. Manx Radio Gold is the perfect soundtrack for your workplace, with fewer interruptions and only the greatest hits on earth. On your smart speaker and at gold.manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Gold.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
18 minutes past five, and it's that time of the year again when local farmers are working round the clock as the lambing season gets underway. In recent years, what should be a highlight of the farming year has too often been marred by horrific incidents of dog worrying in all parts of the island. Paul Costain, who has Moorhouse Farm in Colby, says even friendly dogs can cause sheep to panic. Stress can separate ewes from their lambs, which in some cases leads to injury or even death. He told Simon Richardson it can be a very stressful period.
It is, Simon. We have enough of a challenge with the weather at the moment as well. So anything that will reduce the trouble for us, it'll be grateful. I know the general public are very good. Sometimes they just don't engage enough to think about what they're actually doing. Fundamentally, keep a dog on a lead. Also, it's not so much the dogs as well, Simon. It's just the general population of people are in fields. If there's livestock there, you know, people can upset them as well. Cyclists as well. I'm covering a broad spectrum of everybody, aren't I? The hill sheep are about to start, usually in April. People go off-piste, and if you've got livestock lambing, And hopefully people will realise hill sheep, they lamb and they'll leave their lamb in a little heatherling bush or in some rushes, and they'll go off and graze and come back to the lamb at a later date. Quite often people find the lamb and think it's been abandoned. Not the case at all. So just don't interfere with the shepherd, as your shepherd's vocation. Just if you're concerned, find out whose land it is and let the farmer know. But don't go picking a lamb up and thinking it's lost or abandoned.
And of course, farmers are working round the clock at the moment, aren't they, Paul, during lambing to care for their animals. And they could really do without the stress of having to worry about people and animals and dogs and what have you near their livestock.
It's two months of the year, not even that, six to 8 weeks of the year. If people can sort of be aware of our livelihood, there's glens, there's certain beaches they can walk on, there's certain plantations they can go to. Just be considerate and very much very grateful if they can stay off these livestock areas for the time being.
And it would be nice to think we could get through a whole lambing season without any of the horrific incidents that we've seen in previous years.
Unfortunately, yes, it's happened to me as well. Very distressing for everybody when you see a dog chasing and killing sheep and lambs. It's not pleasant at all.
Paul Costain, who runs Morehouse Farm in Colby there. Now, every week we've been hearing from residents across the island about the issues that matter most ahead of the general election. Voters will head to the polls on the 24th of September to choose their new House of Keys representatives. This week, Chanel Suku's been out in Onchan asking people whether they plan to vote and what is top of their agenda.
The major things is the roads, all the tax money. All the money for the taxes are going for the roads, and none of it's getting done. It would have cost me, about £500-600 for new wheels because of the potholes of the roads. So that's a pain in the so, you know what I mean? And the other one is if they can get the NHS back up and running, because that's a bit of a joke as well, because I don't honestly think they know what they're doing.
I think there's a big problem with potholes in the road. Some of the roads are in a shocking condition. They have been for a while. I'm sure they've been reported, but nothing much seems to be happening. I think we could do with a few more shops. It seems to be dying a little bit. More of just a through road with no sort of shopping centre to it.
I'll be voting, but depends on the weather.
You're in Onchan. Will you be voting this elections?
No, we won't, because we are leaving the island and moving abroad.
Is that a choice that you've decided to make?
It is, yes. We've been over here for 22 years and we're now at the stage where we just think enough's enough. We need to be able to be closer to our family and friends, and with the state of the island and what's happening, it's just becoming more expensive to eat, live, get to and from the island. So we just feel now's the time for us to go back before we're too old to do it.
Can I ask, what was the turning point for you? Because 20 years is quite a long time. You build a community around you.
We have, but mainly because of getting off and on the island. It's become so expensive, and I've lost my four members of my family over the last 2 years, and it's just been backwards and forwards, and it's just cost an absolute fortune.
Well, that's some of the residents in Onchan. If you live in Onchan, do you agree with those views? Are there other issues that you think candidates should be focusing on? Text WhatsApp 166177 studio@manxradio.com. Now, the Information Commissioner says Ramsey commissioners redacted information without justification in response to an FOI request into its plans for a changing hut on Ramsey South Beach. In a report, Dr. Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya found the local authority had also responded to the initial request 6 days past the deadline. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
The applicant had specifically requested correspondence relating to safeguarding concerns about its plans for South Beach on the 21st of December 2023. However, the local authority sent its redacted response back past the statutory deadline, and the applicant requested a review of the information on the 2nd of February 2024. The commissioners responded on the 27th of March, stating all the information had been provided and offered supplementary information. Dr. Delaney Bhattacharya found information in the emails had been redacted without explaining the practical refusal reasons or exemptions. She added that the redactions were inconsistent. As part of her review process, she also requested details of the commissioner's search to collect the information. These were in the form of two emails. She found the first email sent was from the deputy town clerk to the deputy town clerk and had the recipient's blind carbon copied into it, which is not sufficient evidence of a search for the information. The Information Commissioner says she was not furnished with details of the second email, including who received it and what responses were provided. She also found in her report that there was a lack of diligence for allowing people to not respond to the email request for information. Dr. Delaney Bhattacharya added the failure of individuals to reply leaves the scope and nature of their searches unverified. Ramsay commissioners have now been ordered to either disclose the information requested to the applicant or provide a further refusal notice.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with that report. 24 minutes past five, members of the Guild of Manx Registered Tour Guides have combined their voices and are calling for the return of the Douglas Horse Tramway to the sea terminal. They've sent a letter to the Infrastructure Minister, which has also been shared with Manx Radio. Now, a case for reinstating the tramway from Broadway to the sea terminal is set to be brought to Tynwald in May. With more details, here's Chanel Suku.
The chairman of the group says they'd like to see services operate, especially on cruise ship days, as this will introduce visitors to the historic, unique treasure that the island has, and it will also link passengers more easily with the Manx Electric Railway to explore Laxey and Snaefell, as well as its environmental impacts as opposed to using a bus. Dr. Jacqueline Yates described the delay and procrastination on this as embarrassing and damaging to the island's reputation. In addition to the restoration of the line, the Blue Badge Guide say the tramway would need to be frequent as passengers can jump on it as soon as they leave the sea terminal. Dr. Yates adds that guides sometimes find it difficult to explain to visitors why they'd have to walk half a mile to get to the tram, saying transport links like these should be easily accessible and obvious. She further states there is support for it as there have been repeated votes in favour in Tynwald, adding while guides often joke, trader, frankly, she says, it's embarrassing.
Chanel Suku reporting there. Right, let's take a look at the latest sports brought to you by The Print Shed. Darren Timpson's here with me now. Fastamai, Darren, what's the latest?
Fastamai, FC Isle of Man could be in for a tough test tomorrow as they take on Chadderton in the NWCFL Premier Division. The Ravens are looking to bounce back after a 5-1 battering by Atherton LR last time out. However, tomorrow's opponents come to the ball unbeaten in their last 11 games, which includes 9 victories. Going into the weekend, FC Isle of Man are currently 19th in the table on 38 points. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. at the ball. In the local game, there's a table-topping clash between Carter Town and Colby in the Arden and Drogon Division 2 tomorrow. Town will be hoping to gain some ground on the Moonlighters, who are 4 points ahead and have played one game more. However, third place Moran will also be keeping an eye on things as they look to capitalise on any drop points. They face Douglas and District, but they're currently 9 points behind Carter Town with 3 games in hand outside of the playoff spots. In the Canada Life Premier League, Corinthians and Peel are both in action, with the Westerners hoping to close in on the Whites. There's a 7-point gap between the two sides as the division enters the business end of the competition. Similar to Moran, Peel have also played 3 games less, and this weekend they face Onchan. Corinthians, meanwhile, travel to Ayr United. On to hockey, where two teams could be crowned league champions this weekend. Backers are 5 points clear in the Men's Premier League, which enters game week 8 tomorrow. They face 4th place Valkyries and will win the division with a victory or a Vikings lose to Castletown. Elsewhere, backers B are in a familiar position in the Men's Division 1 and they face Ramsey away. Meanwhile, in the Ladies Premier League, Castletown and Valkyries are still locked at the top with 9 points apiece. And in rugby, Vagabonds are looking for a third straight win as they host Congleton in the County's 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire.
Darren, thank you very much. Guru Mayed. Well, that's it for Update this week. Thanks very much to newsreader Lewis Foster. Ben Cunningham is up next with Friday Sports. Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits after that. Hope you have a good weekend. Beth is back with you from next week. So, until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.